We have three new albums up for review this week. The first album from Morrissey since his autobiography came out last year, and the album is called World Peace Is None of Your Business. We also have a debut album from the band at the moment called Jungle from Jungle, and the second album from synth pop act La Rue called Trouble in Paradise. Simon Moore and Lauren Murphy have been listening to these new releases first, and they're here now. Lauren, we're going to start the Morrissey album. We've been listening just there to the single from the album there, a track called Istanbul. Describe how this song fits in with the rest of the album.
It fits in really well, to actually. I think this album has been in the making for a long time at this point, so who knows how old that song actually is, but it certainly sounds fresh. The thing I liked about this album is that it's a lot more deft of touch than his previous stuff. I wonder if that's down to Joe Ciccarelli, who produced this album, and who has previously worked with bands like The Shins and Modest Mouse and The White Stripes and indie bands like that, younger indie bands. I think he's brought a new freshness to Morrissey's sound. You can hear it on that song especially.
Now, the title track called Istanbul there, but other titles from the album, Simon, you know, there's a touch of State of the Nation.
Oh, there always is.
material here. Talk us through it.
We were just talking beforehand about the fact that it's Morrissey. He releases an album, he gives out to you a lot. He tells you about all the things that are bad about the world, and he expected about politicians and capitalism, but he'll tell you what's bad about yourself. But because it's Morrissey, you'll sit there and you'll take it and you go, thanks, Morrissey. That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I needed to hear. So when he says world peace is none of your business, you kind of believe him.
I mean, lines like each time you vote, you support the process. The rich must profit and get richer and the poor must stay poor. Lauren, for you, is this familiar territory or has he developed his themes a little?
It's kind of like Simon says, it's like you kind of expect these sort of themes on a Morrissey album. I think every single Morrissey album has varying degrees of him basically giving out to you about something else or giving out about the world. Vegetarianism is a big theme, obviously running through his career right back to Simon the Smiths. And he mentions it a couple of times, especially on the song I'm Not a Man. He mentions all these various assertions of masculinity and why he's not the model of the modern man because he doesn't ascribe to them. And he mentions T-bone steak and how wolfing it down will give you cancer of the prostate and stuff like that. And it's dramatic, but it's exactly what you expect of Morrissey.
You know, you've used words like, you know, lecturing us and being preachy, and these are always sticks used to beat him with, but fans love it. They respond so enthusiastically to him.
I think what's really good about Morrissey is that while, yes, he will give out to you, you know you can rely on him, and you get the absolute feeling that when all else fails, there's always Morrissey, you know, and that even though he's given out about you, he's only given out about you because he cares, but he's got your back. And there's one particular song, which is Staircase at the University, which is brilliant, but it's talking about, you know, about a father and the father's daughter, and he talks about, if you don't get 3 A's, you're no child of mine, as far as I'm concerned you're dead. And the girl then goes and throws herself down the staircase in the university, but you know yourself, he's got you, you know, he's there to mind you, he's going to give out to you, but he only gives out because he cares.
But there's always an argument with Morrissey fans, you know, people say he's depressing, they go, no, it's dark humour, there's a blackness there. Is that apparent, is that evident in this album, Lauren?
Absolutely. I think that is one of the biggest misconceptions about Morrissey. And I am a Morrissey fan, granted. But, you know, like, people misunderstand him and misunderstand his humour sometimes. I think he's the king of the withering put down. There's a line, he's still capable of brilliant lines, like, however, it's 25 years of his solo career last year, I think it was. He's still capable of lines like, you are that part of the beach that the tide doesn't reach. Like, you can't get much better than that, really.
Now, interesting to see Mountjoy there as a title or a track title there in the middle of the album. Have you any idea if it's related to Dublin's Mountjoy?
No, it is absolutely. It's about Mountjoy Prison in Dublin. Yes, yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to it. Some very quotable lines there, Simon. Mountjoy with a hardened cry, and I was sent here by a 3 foot halfwit in a wig.
Yeah. But he talks about it is, you know, Mountjoy Prison opening in 1850, and he goes that little bit deeper then, and he talks about we all lose, rich or poor.
So for you, Lauren, did you like this album on first listen? I mean, you've admitted you're a Morrissey fan, so can he do no wrong in your eyes?
No, not at all. In fact, I wasn't actually sure what to make of this album at first. The fact that it's been so long since his last one, it's been 5 years, and I was really expecting this big statement, and it left me a bit puzzled at first. I wasn't sure what to make of it, but it's certainly not an immediate album, but the more you listen to it, it's a huge grower, and there's lots of layers going on, and apart from the lyrics, which we've talked about a lot, the music is really, really great on this album as well. He's found a new kind of gear and it's a really good album.
Yeah.
So his 10th studio album has impressed you, Simon?
It has indeed, yeah. And as Lauren was saying about the music, like there's flamenco guitar in this. It's flamenco on a Morrissey album. So no, this is really good stuff and it really will grow on you.
You sound outraged. Lauren, stars out of 5, please.
4 out of 5.
4. Mm. And
yeah,
Simon,
I give it 4 as well, absolutely.
Both nodding. Well, the next album up for discussion is from Jungle. Simon, introduce us to Jungle, please.
Right. In real life, there are two producers, Josh Lyde-Watson and Tom McFarlane, and they met, they were sort of skateboarding around Shepherd's Bush, and they then became, well, very quickly, they became sort of darlings of the music industry, and there was a sort of a mystique built up around them because it was just these two guys that people didn't know. Then they appeared on stage. There's 7 in the band, but you know, really, when it comes down very quickly, it comes back to this is the musical musings of these two guys.
Well, we're going to take a listen to one of the tracks from the album. This is Busy Earning by Jungle. Lauren, the sound then here, clearly from that, we're hearing, you know, it's soulful, it's funk, it's big sound. What are they like live then? I mean, is this a Daft Punk kind of act going on here?
Yeah, they, like Simon said, they are two guys, their front, known as J and T initially, and their full names have come out in the interim, but they do play with a 7-piece band live. They have played in the past behind a big cloud of smoke from a smoke machine, which gives them kind of this veil of anonymity, and because of that reason I think there's maybe a little bit of flavour of the month sort of thing going on, just because there's been so much of that amongst UK acts, especially in recent years, with acts like Burial and Subtract and Woo Life, that indie band from a couple of years ago. It seems to be a thing. I don't think they're that much of Flavour of a Month because there is substance to this album, without a doubt. I'm just not sure that there's enough substance to kind of sustain it over 10 or 11 tracks.
Simon, you know, there does seem to be something of a phenomenon around them, a bit of hype or whatever. For you, do they merit it, or do you agree with Lauren, there is actually something going on?
I think when I heard it, there's the singles Platoon, Time and Busy Earning, I think, with the 3 singles. And when you hear the 3 singles, you go, oh, there really is something to this band. They may be vocally the Fine Young Cannibals with musically Daft Punk, but there's something about them. At least they're good at it. But when you listen to the other 8 or 9 tracks in the album, you get the feeling it's, they're doing that again. It's the same thing they're doing again. And perhaps it's something that just from not having that much live experience that they haven't really seen, well, what do people want? Do people want a bit more out of them? Or do they just want that 3 single sound to hear them do a 30-minute set and go away again?
Visuals are very important to them. Like the videos have been very kind of strong. Can you give us a sense of what they've done with that?
Yeah, they really broke through last year with their first single Platoon, which featured a 6-year-old kid breakdance, and it was I encourage you to look it up on YouTube because it's really, really funny and it's really good, and it went viral, and that was the sort of video that made their name and kind of put them out there, and still nobody knew who they were, but people know who they are now, obviously.
Simon, you mentioned that you gave a little nod to Fine Young Cannibals, yeah, vocally there, a high compliment. But what kind of stuff are they singing about in the album?
Well, see, this is it. Like a lot of tracks, they're just talking, maybe you're into self-centred land of busy earning, just can't get enough. A lot of stuff about money, about success, about fame, and then about fun. And that's what the majority of the tracks are about at this stage. I don't think they've taken a decision yet that they should go down with maybe experimenting that much lyrically. They're really about the music and perhaps about the vocal being almost an added instrumentation on it. But I think given a second album, there perhaps is the chance, and perhaps that will be the makings of them, is that they now have a sound, but have they got something to say?
Well, some people have drawn parallels as well to Disclosure in reviews. Lauren, would you agree with this?
Yeah, I definitely get where they're coming from with that. I think there's a real nighttime sort of atmosphere to most of these songs, like the Disclosure album. You kind of get the full effect of it, maybe, if it's dark, and the crackle and hiss of the production is kind of similar and really kind of immerses you in that way. And I think that works for these songs because if it was too pristine and perfect, I don't think it would have the same authenticity of those really, really nice soul vocals that are all through the album. So it works in that respect, definitely.
Okay, stars then. 5.
I liked it, but I didn't love it, so 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think it's 3 out of 5. It's solid, but it's solid in terms of individual songs, not necessarily as an album.
The third album you've been listening to for us this week is called Trouble in Paradise by LaRue. Now, let's take a listen to the single here. This is Let Me Down Gently, and you can tell us about LaRue after we... Lauren, formed in 2006. They were Grammy Award winning in 2011. And now, 3 years later, where are LaRue?
Well, they're back to being one person, which is Ellie Jackson, the voice you just heard there. She talked about recently about how her and her previous writing partner, Ben Langmaid, kind of split up because they were basically taking different musical paths. Even though he still has writing credits on six of the songs here, it's kind of like her solo vehicle now, although she still plays live with a band. I definitely think it's definitely a more mature album. The first one was wonderful. I really, really liked their debut in 2009. It kind of put this spin on 80s synth music and for a new generation, but it didn't rehash old stuff either. I think this one is more mature, more grown up, and probably more well-rounded version of that sort of style.
So, Simon, we know there was a split.
Yes.
And we know the album's called Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah. You know, there's
are these linked?
Yeah, there is heart being worn on sleeve here. And there's a track on the album, Silent Partner, which is about sort of 7 or 8 minutes long. And it really is very much the biography of what happened. And you can tell. And she's had, not alone did she have problems with breaking up with her songwriting partner, but she also suffers from really bad anxiety attacks. You know, so she felt really not just unable to perform, but unable to go into a studio and work under a producer or anything. And it took her until, I think the first live performance was late last year, before she felt confident enough, not alone with the songs, but with herself, to be able to go back in and perform these live.
Well, Ellie Jackson has long sported kind of an androgynous look, really, Lauren. I mean, does this idea of ambiguous sexuality, does that carry through the lyrics on the album?
Yeah, I think she's always kind of had that. She's really steered away from defining her sexuality, which of course is irrelevant to the music generally. But there's a song especially called Cruel Sexuality that fans the flames of that a little bit, keeps people guessing with lyrics like, "You make me happy in my everyday life, why must you keep me in your prison at night," which is the vocal hook. Yeah, at the same time, she references he in a lot of the songs, but I don't think that's any bad thing. I like the fact that the pop star is still with a sense of intrigue these days.
So that vocal sound then, has that changed in this album, Simon? Were you convinced by it or impressed?
I was, and I think particularly when that first single came out, it was almost as if there was a whole new range that she had, because the first album was very much about the falsetto that she had, and she does it very well. And she went on and then she did a collaboration with Heaven 17 where they did Temptation, and once again she was using the really, really top end of her voice for that. Whereas this, when she starts to sing about things, you know, the fact that she's got a much more natural range to it, it sounds really good.
So she has all the songwriting credits on this album, Lauren, does she?
No, she co-wrote six of the songs with Ben Langmaid. And then when he left the band last year, I think their producer or their engineer, Ian Sherwin, took over as co-producer and co-songwriter. So the three of them have written lots of the songs, and she's written three on her own. The Feeling, Cruel Sexuality and Silent Partner, without Ben Langmaid, basically.
Now, Bulletproof was a big hit for LaRue and a real floor filler. Any kind of obvious hits on this?
There is. Well, this is full of, like, as well as everything else, it's still a pop music album, but the tracks like Uptight Downtown, which I think was the second single, and Kiss and Not Tell, which sounds like it's kind of ABBA meets Heaven 17. Like, you know, so there's plenty of it on this album. It's just that there's a little bit more too, which is great. And it wouldn't sound right if those tracks weren't on the album as well. It wouldn't sound right. It would just sound like, you know, some sort of a here's the story of my life. But people still want to hear those dancey songs, and they're there and they sound good.
So the difficult second album, Lauren, seems to have gone okay for
her. Yeah, on paper it sounds like it must have been a difficult process, but it actually flows really well from start to finish. It's a really good album. It picks all the stuff that she did so well on the first album and transports them with more variation and depth to this one, I think.
Stars out of 5, Simon?
I'm going to give this another solid 4.
Gotcha. I'm very impressed generous this evening. Yes. And Lauren, for you, stars out of 5.
Yeah, I loved it as well, 4 out of 5.
Lauren Murphy and Simon Marr were listening to Morrissey's World Peace Is None of Your Business, which came out on Tuesday, Jungle from Jungle, which came out on Monday, and Trouble in Paradise from LaRue, which is out today.